excited about Chris's coming, and thanks for bringing his family. It makes our numbers look like we have more people. But it's really great to have them. It's going to be, he's going to give us input. You've got pens and papers. You've got an outline on your table. He's open to questions, especially that back table there. They're always the trouble. But you're welcome to join. Throw a hand up if you want him to slow down. But it's going to be really wonderful to hear his input. So,
it's been a while. Thank you, Bill. Since I've been here, Bill and I go way back. We won't say how far way back. But it's really, really good to be here. I haven't been here in a while. I've probably preached here maybe a few times, 15 years. Y'all remember that, some of you? Who remembers my ugly face? Okay. Really, you're saying my face is ugly? Is that what you're saying? But it's better than Bill's face, right? That's his.
I get younger.
He'll catch me later. Not much. Hey, I'm excited to be here to share with you from Peter's life, the Apostle Peter. And I'll just kind of be doing a series the next 3 weeks on different phases of Peter's ministry. From the Bible, the New Testament, Peter's ministry. On the table there are books around. My wife would have a book if you'd like to have one. And you don't have one, would you raise your hand maybe she can get you one around? Okay, there's one over here, man. There are some on the table as well. You can grab one there if you wish. But I want you to know that as I grow older, I'm an older guy, and my mission hasn't changed. As Christians, regardless of our age, the desire to help people in their journey with the Lord Jesus Christ is bottom line. Is that not true?
Amen.
So that's the kind of legacy I want to leave. I agree with my friend Jack Ruff, some of you maybe remember him from Cleveland, who said this profoundly: those who have more birthdays live longer.
Amen.
Okay, I know it's early, but think about it. It's true, right? I've had a few, been working on this book, and here's my outcome focus from Psalm. It's on page V. You know what page V means?
Five
in Roman numeral. There you go. From the psalmist, 145, verses 3 through 6. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. Think about those wonderful works. Why? Because they tell the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is good.
Amen.
You're allowed to say ta-da.
Ta-da.
Or amen. I know Bill told me you say ta-da sometimes, right?
Help him, Jesus.
Help him, Lord. That's a good one. You know the pastor's in trouble. And help him, Jesus. That's right.
Ta-da.
Amen. So be it, Lord. But as we think about, you know, our life, John writes in his third letter the goal to pass on what Elizabeth Bailey would call a relay of truth. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth.
Amen.
You're a believer today. That's our desire, isn't it? The people we live with, the people we work with, the people we play with. Lord, we want to all together pursue your kingdom, your truth first, knowing that if we do that, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be all right. I had a friend I used to work with, Harley, who's from West Virginia. He said, if something would go wrong on the job, he'd look at you with his wad of tobacco in his mouth and he'd say, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. So as we think about okayness, I want you to think about Peter's life. A lot of ups and downs. And this is not a lecture necessarily. If you have comments, input, questions, feel free. But here's where I mean, it's a little different this morning, probably than hearing Bill's oratorical splendor, right? Can't resist, Bill. You're such an easy target there. I'm sorry. And I am too, so we're in it together. But as we think about Peter's life. What do you know? What kind of guy was Peter? What do you know about Peter? Everybody around the room. What?
Fisherman.
A fisherman, yeah. What else do we know about Peter?
Spontaneous.
I can't hear. Spontaneous, yes. Peter is the kind of guy, like, if he had something in his brain, it was going to come out of his tongue, probably, right?
Absolutely.
Not unlike me. I get in so much trouble at times preaching because things come out of my mouth that I think, oh, that wasn't in the notes. Spontaneous. What else do we know about Peter?
Flexible.
Okay, that's good.
Leader.
Man, he had leadership gifts and abilities, didn't he, Chris? Yeah.
Righteous anger.
Nice. We call it in the church spiritual indignation.
Love for the Lord.
Love for Jesus, yeah. Those are good. Solid commitment, right? Willing to lay his life down for the Lord. Did he ever flop? Did he ever fail? Yeah? Huh? Belly floppers? Yeah. But the Lord was faithful to always pull him back. And he is in our lives as well. As we think about this natural leader, the life of Peter, the next couple of weeks, his success, I want you to know that what compelled him, what transformed him, was the call of the Lord Jesus. So we're going to hit that today, the call of the Lord Jesus. Next week, we're going to hit the mission that Peter was engaged in. And the following week, we're going to talk about, I don't remember what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about something the following week, okay? Promise. But as we think about the gospel's effect on Peter's life, it all revolved around grace. Y'all know what grace is?
Yeah.
I'm hearing an example of that. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a great acronym. Yes. Undeserved favor. I'm here because of grace. Peter was because of grace. The life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the Spirit's coming filled Peter's life in such a way that he became the person, until he died under Nero's reign, that lived out grace. In fact, he begins his first letter, grace to you. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he ends his last letter, grace be with you. When Peter wrote that book, 1 and 2 Peter, he was an older gentleman. He was probably my age. Okay? If he met Christ at 30, accepted the call at 30, 30 years later, AD 65, he writes this letter, and he says it's all about grace. Yeah, there are works involved, but it's not performance-based. It's we get grace, we live grace, so that we can see grace replicated in our lives, in the lives of others. So I want us to think about the growing grace that the Lord gives to us or wants to give to us today. From the context of the book, it's not about retirement. It's not about, going to deeper, bluer, greener pastures or pursuing our bucket lists. If you're that age, it's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, page 2 in the book, or you can turn in the scripture, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, we see a little bit about Peter's legacy. Grace leads to legacy, leaving behind, albeit all imperfectly. My son's here, so I have to be careful how I speak. I can't put myself too high because he knows the truth about me. Okay? I'm not going to go with my wife, what she might say. She knows me better than anybody. But Peter lived out a legacy.
Well, not everyone.
What's that, man?
Peter done better.
Well, that's true. That's true. So I was at Malone University. Two adult, teenage grandchildren. We were walking along, looking at all of the buildings. The young admissions counselor was doing a great job trying to sell the place to them, right? I resisted the temptation to jump in and share all my good stories as an extrovert and all my insights about Malone. She did a good job, but as we were walking, I noticed around me, kind of in a spirit of Wow, the names on the building, emblazoned on the building. The old Quakers, Whittier, Fox, Woolman. I thought, you know, those guys lived out Malone's motto, which is what, Bill Quigley?
Christ's kingdom first.
Christ's kingdom first. They lived that out. And there was a Johnson Center. I knew those guys from history, but I knew Johnson from serving with them on the board and in other places. And I thought to myself, you know, that's a legacy, but you don't have to have your name. Guys, and I want you to know this. Hear this loudly. We don't have to have our name on a building because we gave a lot of money or invested as a martyr, okay? To live out the truth of legacy. That's where we start with Peter. He talks about legacy and the fourth chapter is first letter, verse 7. The end of all things is near. What did he mean by that? He thought the world was going to hell in a handbasket. It is now, yeah. I mean, and it was just as bad then. I don't think it ever gets better until the Lord returns. Nero was on a rampage. Who ruled that northern area of Turkey where Peter served? Nero, Roman Empire, right? Bill's good on all this geography and stuff, right? He can give us the map and all that stuff. Christians were losing their property. They were losing everything dear, loved ones who were being killed for sport in the Colosseums. In fact, Peter later, probably in a couple years, AD 65 or so, a couple years down the road, would be imprisoned for his faith. He'd be put to death, as tradition has it, crucified upside down, so he did not feel worthy to be crucified as his Lord and Savior was crucified. But he talks about the end is near. What do we do then? Therefore, be alert and sober minds, so that you may pray. Number one, pray. And then number two, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Anybody have a lot of sins that love covered over? Amen. By Jesus or a family member or so on. Then you offer, verse 9, hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, I can't believe you're staying another day, man. It's time to go. Each of you, what's that mean in the Greek, Bill?
Each of you.
Each, right. Each of you, that's correct. Should use whatever gift, whatever charisma you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Praying this would be the very words of God, in Jesus' name, to us. If anyone serves, they should do it with all the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So where do we start in this idea of legacy? Christ's kingdom first, next generation, this generation, seeing the gospel lived out, receiving the gospel because of the Holy Spirit's prompting and compelling in their life and in our lives, then we leave a legacy. Let me just see you look right here, okay? If you're a believer today, you have spiritual gifts. Serving, preaching, discernment, wisdom, exhort, you know, they go down the list there. Different scholars have different numbers for all the spiritual gifts, right? But the point is, we all, as believers, have a spiritual gift to be stewarded, to be managed to God's glory. And guess what? We'll be accountable for that too, I believe, in our lives. There are people around you, a place around you, that just begs to see and to hear something of the grace of Jesus Christ in our journey, in our story, just like they saw Peter's story. That's how he became a leader. He walked in grace. He had to learn that. He was pretty egotistical, pretty proud, you know, at times. But God showed him the way of humility, the way of grace. And we need that. That's later in the book, but we need that. My son, oldest son, is a pilot for the Air Force. He was retired now. Here's a question, kind of a joke they tell. How do you know when there's a fighter pilot in the room? They'll let you know. Peter, learn grace. It is a learned thing. It takes experience, and I pray that as we think about our lives, that we will learn grace. Okay? That's the starting point. Now, here's what I want you to do as we look at who we are, number two, in terms of identity, is I want you to look on page 3 at 2 Peter 1 and 2. Page 3 or so, or in the Bible, it's 2 Peter 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New International Version, by the way. I need to keep track of my time, don't I?
You're fine. Keep going.
I think you mean page 5.
Is that what I mean?
Page 5?
Yes. Okay. But anyway, that text we'll get to. Identity. What is our identity? What does it mean to be chosen by God? You ever get chosen to be in an organization or on a team, in a workplace, or you ever get chosen and you thought, man, why did I get chosen? Right? This, I'm not worthy of this. I don't know if I can do this. That's called the Peter principle, by the way. You know that, right? When you are put in a place where you don't think you can do it because you can't. But it's a privilege, man, to be chosen by Jesus. That is what he writes about here. Men and women who find their validation not in titles, accomplishments, trophies, what we do, performance stuff, right? Guys, are we kind of in our careers, do we tend to be a little performance oriented? Hey, who are you? Hey, what's your name? Chris? Yeah. What do you do for a living? What do you do? See, I mean, that's our idea, isn't it? Because that validates us. And we're all like that, men, women, younger people. But as a Christian, it's not what we do. It's what's done. It's what's already done on the cross. Again, Peter learns grace through the ups and downs. In his later years, he's validated not on the basis of his resume. I used to say, you know, when I was doing a lot of interviewing and stuff, you never look better than on your resume, right? That's the best place you look good. But Peter, again, he's not going to retire in his later years, is he? He might be more limited. He might be in prison. He might be persecuted. He might have hurting people that he's loving, tending to. But here's what he says as he begins his whole second letter. Who are you, Peter? What's your identity? I'm Simon Peter. I like how he uses both names. Simon, given name. Peter, Cephas the Rock. Who is becoming as a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, apostle, one who has been called by Jesus, was with Jesus, and was sent out by Jesus in the strictest sense, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. How did you get that faith? Did you work for it? Did you earn it? How'd you get it? You received it. It's a gift, Lord. Thank you. You love me. You died for me. And you're going to keep me until that day when I go meet the Lord, or when you return. So Peter got that in terms of a calling, in terms of equipment from the Lord, and he operated on not get performance, but what Jesus did. I got a story from Luke 10. Just hit me in my devotions the other day. Luke 10. Luke was a very careful scholar. He researched. He was a doctor, traditionally, says. And so he did the background. He studied. And here's what he says about the disciples' first mission trip. Okay, the disciples' first mission trip. They came back. Man, everybody was really stoked. Everybody was excited. And because they were excited, giving high fives, you know, probably, oh, did you see that? We were able to teach there. And they listened, and people were set free. They were healed, set free from the enemy. Just like you did, Jesus. Just like you did. Here's what Jesus says to him. Okay, that's great. In fact, this is the only place in the scripture that says Jesus was filled with joy with them. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, but wait a minute. Don't rejoice in what you did. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life in heaven. Who did that? Not their mission trip. Jesus did that. So as I'm thinking about with you, Peter's calling and our legacy, how we want to be remembered, here's what I want you to do, okay? Round your tables. This is called the TIO on the sheet. Talk it over time. TIO, not TSO, but I like them too. 5 minutes. We're going to do 5 minutes. Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, okay.
For the audience. Let's go.
Who didn't know?
That's quite a show. Anyway, I'm distracted. I want you to look at, answer this question. Process the information we've just covered. The leader of your table is a person whose birthday is closest to today. Okay, that's the leader of the table. And Bill tells me that the leader of the table has the prerogative of assigning somebody else to be the leader. Is that true?
Because they're leading.
So here's the question. I'll knock this thing off, first of all. Here's the question. How do you want to be remembered? Okay. Or what did you hear the loudest? Maybe what did you hear the loudest in this first little section? Okay. What did you hear the loudest? Who are you, first of all, obviously? What did you hear the loudest? And then we're going to wrap, okay? So I want you to take 5 minutes to process that information, what you hear the loudest, and how do you want to be remembered? I'd like to be remembered as a guy, just to give you an idea, who did the best he could. Yeah, he did the best he could. It's not fair to also say, how do you want to be remembered? Or how what do you want people to say at your funeral? He's alive! He's moving! That's not a good answer. Okay. 5 minutes, go.
You're in charge.
I was driving. carrier.
Okay. Thank you, Captain. What else you got? He's ignoring me so much. Number two is that you
I was thinking maybe the whole like big house one. If you give the money off.
Well, not everything but the debt.
I already mentioned it.
Another minute.
What are you guys?
I know, is it the sweetest thing?
For somebody who hasn't spoken, put them on the spot. All right, did anybody get any sermons in? Who has something that you'd like to share from your table? Somebody who said something really cool. What would you like to share on that? That's right. Anybody else?
I have something.
Go.
And this just occurred, okay? All of us here at this table.
The rowdy table.
Are older.
Thank you.
You know?
Not everyone.
And here we have him. He's
bowing his head in embarrassment.
Tell everybody your name.
And, you know,
how old is he?
His legacy and his ability to be a legacy, to make his legacy follow the things that will create his legacy. We are at this table all a part of what is making his legacy, and his grandma is the one that said that, you know.
Amen.
And I think that is amazing, and we need to remember that when we're dealing with youngers.
Using our gifts for the next generation, that's great. Got a guy back here, too, that says he grew his hair out long to make room for his brain. That's how he wants to be remembered. It's an old Larry Norman poet, an old rock and roll Christian guy from the 60s. He says, I grew it out long. He said, I grew it out long to make room for my brain. I go, that's a Larry Norman quote.
Yeah, he's an old man. Does anybody else in this room know who Larry Norman is?
No.
One person.
He was a great, called the father of Christian rock and roll, right?
Yeah.
Music? Anyway. Larry had his ups and downs, too. But anyway, that's...
So I'll dovetail on what you said, because we sort of did the flip side. We were kind of looking at the people who have poured into us and what they left us behind them. Jahala had shared with her family that she's 80, and she was looking around the room and said, I've rocked everybody in this room as a child. And we looked at who left behind a Bible, and you know, you go through their Bible and you see all the things they underlined and what was important to them in the margins. And so it was us being thankful for what has been poured into us. The legacies that Steve used to pass out suckers, and the first time that I saw Alyssa pass out a sucker, she took the air out of the room for me. It was just like, oh my goodness. You know, the little, what seemingly is inconsequential is so important in the legacy that they've left behind, which is always to point us to Jesus Christ, the high calling of our Savior. And so you go, that's the nugget that I hold on to. Every time you all share, that feeds me for weeks, or it's recalled to me when I need it most. And I go, you know what? Doggone it. John Long shared, and I've never forgotten, and he's probably tired of hearing about it, but he was talking about running one of his farm equipment pieces out in the field, and one of his grandkids got loose, and he almost ran over him, and he said, God told me to stop that equipment. I looked out, and there was that little person.
Oh, man.
And you think, oh, I've lived off of that, you know, for a long time. It's fed me. Fed me when you were in that motorcycle accident. That man came out and said, don't worry, I'm okay. And I think about that. I think about those lessons. Don't worry, Lord, I'm okay, because you've got me. So those are the things that feed us and carry us.
Thank you. I love that.
Yeah. So, what do you say?
Yes, young man.
I just wanted to say how I wanted to be remembered.
Okay.
Go for it.
I wanted to be remembered by the good things I've done.
Very good. Thank you. That's later in the book. You'll pick that up and read it. Well, let's continue on. Again, this idea of calling, because these guys are called in Mark chapter 1. Excuse me. I'm a little bit behind myself. They're called again in Luke chapter 5. Again, Luke's gospel. Kind of cool. I'm just going to kind of tell the story as we wrap this stuff up, okay? As called people, you know, it says that Peter heard Jesus and he dropped his nets immediately and he followed. Again, a successful business. He followed his rabbi, a disciple named Jesus, Joshua, right? And that was a little unusual for that day. It is today also. Usually people who are obtaining a higher education, okay, or following a rabbi, chose the rabbi they wanted to follow. Oh, I want to follow him or whomever. And we do that today too, don't you? If you go to school, you're like, who am I going to follow? In this text, where does the initiative come from when Jesus calls them? He walking? He sees Simon casting his net, and he says, hey, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Who initiated that?
Jesus.
It was Jesus. Why did he initiate that? Because he had in mind what they would be in terms of being with Jesus. The best definition of discipleship that I know of is being with Jesus, then and now. You're going to grow in the Lord. You make a decision to be with Jesus. Think about that. What did that mean for them to be with Jesus? I used to have a saying, follow so closely that you get the dust of your rabbi's feet on you. They saw what he did, the miracles that he performed. The crowds were gathered. Man, they were in awe of this itinerant preacher, taught in the synagogues, freed people from their sin, from their habits, their hassles, their hang-ups, and they not only saw what he did, they learned from what he said. Can you imagine hanging around with Jesus? On the road, learning, having fun with him? You think Jesus might even joke with him? I think so. And then he said to them,
everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Then he said to them, you know, now I want you to go and do what I've done. We talked about that, right? They would do it, and he would evaluate them, like a good prof does, right, Mr. Quigley? Dr. Quigley? With Jesus. The initiative still comes from him today. You know that? If you're a believer today, a Christian today, congratulations. That's not because of you. That's not because, we have to make the choice, but it's because God's grace broke through, his love broke through, to quote another Jesus rocker. And you said yes. You chose to say yes. I want to be with you, Lord. I want to be changed. And you know, he promises to provide if we do that, right? We've talked about different needs in this body, this church, and God promises to provide. We can trust him for that. Again, another instance where the disciples are in Luke 5 around the Sea of Galilee. washing their empty nets. What does that say? Pete and his guys, James, John, whoever, out all night, they came back empty. What happens when a fisherman who does it for a living comes back empty? That means their wallet's empty, right? Or their money bag, whatever they used in that day, right? It wasn't a happy time. They didn't go fishing for sport, like maybe some of you do, right? Now, I'm not a fisherman. I'm too impatient for that, right? I know a lot of good fishermen. I know one-arm fishermen, in fact. You didn't hear that? One-arm fisherman? He caught one that long.
Nate's going, oh, he told that joke again. I can't believe he told that joke.
What's that? You've been telling it for 30 years?
30 years. Actually, that's a Randy Hecker joke.
I know that.
Back to reality. Jesus is there and he sees their situation, and he sees their context. He cares. The crowds are gathering. And he says, hey, Peter, let me use your boat so that I can preach to these folk. Peter had some previous exposure, I believe, to Jesus. He says, sure. You know, acoustically, visually, able to see the rabbi master better. Pushes him out in his boat. And it wasn't any small boat. It's probably about half this room all the way to the walls, okay? Pretty large boat, 15 by 30 maybe. Huge. Jesus preaches. His message gets through undoubtedly, right? And then what does Jesus do? Do you remember the story of Luke chapter 5? He says, hey, yeah, and by the way, Peter, I want to bless you. I mean, this is my, I'm reading between the lines. I'm adding some dialogue. I want to bless your life. Go out into the deep and cast your nets. How's that register with Peter? What are you telling me, Lord? Jesus wasn't telling him to go out and go fishing. He was telling them to go catching. Right? Peter pushes back a little bit, doesn't he? Says, oh, God, Lord, come on, man. You're a great teacher. I'm sure he's thinking in his head. Okay, I'm going to go to Peter's head. You know, but I'm a fisherman. I know fish. Besides that, we're tired, though. We've been out all night, toiling, throwing those heavy nets out. The nets were probably 100 pounds at least. Peace. Multi-nets. He said, come on, man. Instead of pushing back, Peter finally says what?
Okay.
Okay. I give up. At your word, Lord. I love that terminology. But at your word, Lord, we'll do it. And they go out, what happens? They throw their nets in, and then all of a sudden they get a little, whoa, what's that? You know, the fish are biting out in the deep? They usually, it's in the, usually at night and not in the daytime, you know. It was a mystery, but they pull in those nets, and the boats become full. The boat becomes full, they have another boat, it becomes full, full of floppy fish. Picture them around on your feet. Get them off there. How does Peter respond then?
Could we go into business?
Yeah, right. No, I think he responds different. Yeah, kind of business, but Jesus' business, not his business, right? Lord, I trust you're going to provide. You're going to make me go after bigger fish, fishing for men. That's his calling. That's our calling as we leave a legacy, as we pass on his blessing to the people around us, to the next generation, people we work with, play with, and I've talked about. You can trust that Jesus Christ is going to meet you right where you need to be met today. What's the Lord asking you to do? First of all, let him use your boat. What's your boat? Your phone, your house, your church, your time. Let Jesus use that boat. You'll not be sorry. Second lesson is when Jesus asks you to do something, maybe you define your logic, trust his logic. He'll provide. I know some people here, some of us are struggling with a sense of loss. Today's my grandson's birthday in heaven. And that loss still stings. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have lost job, money, health, some of the people we prayed for this morning. Lord, would you just provide? Fill their boat, Lord, with blessing, with grace, with love. And some of us have lost friends, and our relationship is hurting. It's painful. I get it. We all go through that. But here's what Jesus wants you to do. Let him use your boat. Trust him to keep on sowing seed. He'll provide for you. I'd like to pray, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Quigley, Mr. Quigley, and we'll talk about mission next week, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for convicting us, for empowering us today, for changing our direction and our lives, for providing, God. We thank you that you will receive the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord bless you guys. Here's homework, okay? The book, maybe start at day eight. If you're doing it daily, do it at one a daily. Or if you do it as a chunk, do a chunk of it, however you best do it. And then for leaders, here's what I want you to think about in terms of using our gifts in the church here. What do you do well? What does this church do well? Just from being with you this Sunday, I can come up with a list. But think about that, and we'll process that later as well. Thanks again.
It's good to have been together with you all today. It really was a wonderful day. Thanks for coming out in the midst of the snow and the crazy ice and all that stuff. I'm hoping that today was a blessing for you. It was for me. Now, turn to somebody. If you can be in groups of three, go ahead, get in groups of two or three. You're going to give each other a benediction. So you're in groups of two or three. Repeat after me. In the goodness of God.
In the goodness of God.
Now point your finger at him. You were born.
You were born.
You know, just in case, you know, they're wondering. In the providence of God.
In the providence of God.
You've been kept the day long.
You've been kept the day long.
And in the love of God.
In the love of God.
Fully revealed.
Fully revealed.
You have been redeemed.
You have been redeemed.
In the name of the Father and of the Son.
In the name of the Father and of the Son.
And the Holy Spirit. And God's people said.
Amen.
Enjoy your day.